You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Blood Red Podcast with me, Ian Doyle. Joining me today is our chief... No, you're not the chief. That's me. I'll get this right now. Our full-time Liverpool correspondent, both home and away. It's Paul Gorst. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Ian.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, all good. All good. Looking forward to the end of this interminable season.
It has gone on for a very long time.
Yeah, I think Liverpool have played 10 games fewer than they did last season, but this one feels so much longer. But the end is in sight.
It is, and also in sight of me anyway, is Theo Squires, our LFC writer. Hello, Theo, how are you doing?
Same as Gorsty. I echo those sentiments. Very happy for the season to nearly be over, and we can just enjoy the summer.
Yes, but you're not going to Southampton,
are you? No, my season's already over. Yeah, I've been on the beach
we've got to go to Southampton. We'll come to that in a bit. But first of all, we will discuss Liverpool aren't going to be in the Champions League, Paul, after the surprise result of Chelsea losing at Manchester United, a surprise being that they actually scored a goal. Chelsea are obviously appalling. Mm. And while, I think, when was it? Around about January when Liverpool played Chelsea and they were kind of both struggling, and we've seen the difference in the teams there, where Liverpool went on this great run towards the end of the season, Chelsea fell apart. It hasn't quite been enough for Liverpool to close the gap on Manchester United and Newcastle in the top four. So they'll be fifth, we already know that. Europa League next season, and Mohamed Salah, within a couple of minutes of the final whistle at Old Trafford, was on social media basically saying he's devastated, issuing an apology and saying it's not good enough and there's no excuse for it. And yeah, he caused a little bit of a stir, didn't he, with also saying that now's not the time for hopeful, optimistic messages. But Jurgen Klopp was asked about it in his press conference today, looking ahead to the Southampton game. And he kind of said, well, more or less, what did you expect?
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because we know Salah's famously calculated when he speaks. He doesn't speak a lot to the media. So when he puts something out there, it's, you know, sometimes it's a message of whatever. And very rarely he kind of says anything controversial. Very rarely says anything at all, certainly through social media. So it was interesting when that almost pinged out of his drafts. He's probably had that one waiting for a few months, hasn't he? Totally devastated. Repeated use of the word "we," accepted that it was a failure. And it was interesting, like you mentioned there, there's no time for optimism or, you know, positive thinking. You know, I think the idea was that Liverpool players need to reflect upon what has been a failure of a season. Ultimately, you know, going to finish fifth, it's the lowest they've been for 2016, is it?
Yeah.
So that's a good few years, really, when you think about it. They're always certainly the lowest Salah's finished as a Liverpool player. So I can definitely see the point of saying it, and I hope it's a reflection of the general mood in the dressing room, because you see it all too often, don't you, when teams lose and, you know, they thank the fans, you know, for travelling or whatever it is, and they're almost kind of generic platitudes. But this one, you could tell it meant something. And I hope that Liverpool players kind of hold on to this feeling now for the next few weeks and use it, you know, it's going forward for the pre-season, use it for the start of next season and then build from there, because it was refreshing, I thought. And Klopp obviously has to put a little bit of a different slant on things and a bit of a brave face and maybe a little bit of sugarcoating, but I actually thought it was quite refreshing that Salah said what he did.
Do you agree with that, Theo? Or do you think... what I found quite funny is that it's like Salah seems incredibly surprised that this has just happened. It's like absolutely shocked at Liverpool. Whereas I think for a lot of people, certainly the fans, certainly the journalists, I think us three, we know months ago they were never going to finish in the top four. They would just wait until it was mathematically certain. But from a positive point of view, if you want to be positive, the fact that it's taken until 4 days before the end of the season for Liverpool to finally not be in the Champions League, that Jurgen Klopp was saying at the press conference, he didn't say that as such, but the end of the season where I think Liverpool have taken 22 from 24 points, they got a new formation, they're obviously going to be making new signings. He was actually quite optimistic and he was quite keen to go, well, this season's done now. We've spoken about it all season about how it's been so rubbish and the reasons why. But now it's looking ahead, and I know I posted something similar last night, and I can suggest that on social media, there's an awful lot of Liverpool fans who don't really see any hope for the club anymore, and as though they possibly need to disband, and you know, they think that, what is it, there's no club that's been run worse, and this, that and the other, which is obviously one end to it. Has Jurgen Klopp gone too far the other, or is he doing what needs to be done now? Because realistically, as we know, this season's done. All he can do now is look forward to the next one.
Well, he's got to get that balance right. As much as you can feel sorry for yourself and say Liverpool have failed, they've not qualified for the Champions League for a variety of reasons, they've still got to pick themselves up and go again next year, and there are positives to take out of these last 2 months. These last 2 months, Klopp's been coming out and saying regularly, we're not going to get in the Champions League. There's no way Newcastle and Manchester United are dropping the points.
But he said it twice now. He said that with 10 games to go, we didn't even think they'd finish fifth or get into the Europa League.
So it's a surprise that they've actually done that, and that shows there's still some fighting spirit there. I see what you mean with like Salah coming out as though he was surprised, because you think, well, how long has he actually thought that the Champions League wasn't going to happen? Like Liverpool,
in some ways that's good though, isn't it? Because that shows the mentality of somebody who's willing to give absolutely everything up to the last minute.
Well, there's always that then, I suppose, difference to what Klopp's saying publicly and what they're actually feeling in the dressing room. Like when he's saying, oh, we've given up, because he doesn't want to, it's a fool's errand if they're going for it. The dressing room haven't given up. They're still trying to fight for it in case it happens. But then we've seen that in the past, whether it was competing with City for titles or when they were storming to winning the league themselves. It's like, oh, we don't talk about it. We don't think about it. Then as soon as they've won about it, oh, yeah, we've been talking about it since we beat Manchester United in, what was it, January, December time. It's always that what it looks best publicly. And Salah's going to be hurting. Like, he needs to be playing in Champions League football, doesn't he? He wants to win Ballon d'Or. He's like this elite player.
Hang on, are you suggesting that he should leave?
No, I'm not. But like, there were records about Messi and Ronaldo. Like, it took them well until their mid-30s, late-30s, before, oh, they've not even reached the knockout stages. And wasn't it only last year Ronaldo's in the Europa League for the first time? So it's going to be hurting Salah. But then I think it feels a little bit differently to when Liverpool have been in the Europa League before. Because there you're expecting, oh, Steven Gerrard might leave. But then you sort of, Liverpool are flirting between the two competitions, trying to get into one and establish themselves. Whereas now, yeah, it's deflating. They're not going to be in the Champions League. But can anyone really say without confidence they're not going to be in it next year? Like, you expect them to just bounce back, have a good summer and use this feeling. And the fact that Klopp's come out and said that when he's talking about signings and stuff, it's not about the Champions League. He doesn't want any of these players to be motivated purely on the Champions League. There's enough in this camp to turn it around next year, you'd imagine.
Be interesting next season, though. I was having a conversation with somebody after the press conference, and not only have you got Liverpool, City United, Newcastle, Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, suddenly there's seven teams there who will think they've got a very good chance of getting in to the top four, and it could be top five next year with the new rules coming in. But that still means that two of them miss out. But as Theo's just said, if there's anybody who thinks Liverpool aren't or don't have a chance or aren't favourites to finish in the top five next season, that seems a little bit strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, Liverpool have had probably their worst season under Jurgen Klopp, and they've only missed out on the top four after 37 games. So certainly they're going to improve, we know that. I'd actually, you know, saying that before this season's even finished, don't think Liverpool will finish below second next season.
That's, I think, you said this last time, though. In fact, you said you didn't finish below first.
That's true, yeah.
We'll wait until the transfers happen before I make such
I just think Newcastle have overperformed, to be fair to them. They're in the Champions League now with players like Dan Burn and Sean Longstaff and Elliot Anderson. And fair play to them.
Matt Ritchie's still there.
Yeah, they've had
that. Did you see Dan Burn's interview today, or was it yesterday, where he was talking about basically, he's a bit sad because this group of players has achieved this, and now he kind of was suggesting they're all going to get split up because loads of players are going to sign. So
yeah, I mean, they've certainly got the money to do that, haven't they? And now with the Champions League, they've got the pull to do it. They've got the sporting pull as well as the financial one. But it's going to take another extraordinary season for them to be where they are again, I reckon. I think it's difficult. I think the plenty of reasons for people to be glass half empty and plenty of people to be the opposite with Liverpool's season. It's not been a good one by any stretch, but I think certainly since the beginning of April there have been enough signs that have encouraged me to think the next season means that it's going to be very different.
We're all looking at this from the Liverpool bubble, and you've got to think of the sides that have also missed out on the Champions League. Like, City have got the best squad in Europe by far. They've got that strength and depth. They're never going to miss out. But the three teams that are in the top four alongside them last year have all missed out. And you look at it, it's been a strange season with the mid-season World Cup. These sides haven't been able to rotate in the Champions League when it was playing every midweek, every weekend, whereas the sides in the Europa League, Newcastle not even in Europe, they haven't had the same strains on their squad. I'm not saying it's purely down to injuries or how much the strain's been put on the players. Liverpool have underperformed, Chelsea have underperformed, Tottenham have underperformed. But it's going to have a bearing on there. Like Klopp said countless times, how they've had to play catch-up because when one player gets injured, another gets injured.
Yeah.
And it's that knock-on effect. So the fact that all three teams have had poor seasons, when they've had those extra strains and sides have been able to benefit, you'd like to think that in a more traditional season next year, longer pre-season, no World Cup in the middle of it, we'll get a bit more normality. But then, as Doherty said, seven teams competing for it. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. But then we thought, was it last year? Oh, it's going to be a four-team title race. The only reason it didn't end up being a one-team title race was because Liverpool turned it around second half of the season. As you've just said, Liverpool second. If they're at their best, no reason why they can't be at least second.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Klopp was feeling quite chatty in his press conference today. You could tell that he was quite happy that he doesn't have to do this again for quite a while, so he's getting a lot of things off his chest. He was asked about transfers, and he said it depends how you view it. It's right. He said, "Yeah, I don't think not being in the Champions League will have too much effect." He says, "And hopefully we'll get most of our stuff done in the next 6 or 7 weeks," which a lot of people, again, on social media, immediately when that came out, took that as a negative. It's like, well, hang on, they don't come back to training for another 6 weeks.
So still May.
It's still May. It doesn't officially open until July, and we know that a lot of deals will get done over the next couple of weeks. But Liverpool have still got an awful lot of time before they actually get back and start training to actually get this stuff done. So it doesn't, but you know, the minute the final whistle goes at Southampton on Sunday doesn't mean that on Sunday, I hope it's not anyway, because we can go out for a drink. But we can't be doing any stories, writing any stories on Sunday nights. But that Liverpool is just going to sign players straight off, because there's an awful lot of moving parts. And as we've said so many times on this podcast and written it, there's an awful lot of other teams who need an awful lot of other players.
Yeah.
The World Cup was mid-season, not as many, a load of players move after that. Didn't really happen because it was in January, and they're all going to be moving now. So it's going to be busy, and it might take some time, but Klopp is quite keen on getting it done before July the 8th.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but I still was a little bit with the amount of pushback I've seen from that quote. It was almost like people thought 6 or 7 weeks meant that it was going to be like transfer deadline day or something, and the season was already underway and whatever, and Liverpool were scrabbling around trying to see whoever they could get. 6 or 7 weeks, like you say, is still, you know, before pre-season begins.
Yeah, and we know the club's going to go on holiday at some point. Yeah. What are the fans going to say? Don't you dare do that. Yeah. Well, in the past, he has interrupted his holidays by sorting out transfers.
It doesn't matter if he does or he doesn't. He's not the one who's essentially there. He might be needed for a Zoom call for a potential transfer tie, a la Luis Diaz or whatever. But I think it's going to be a busy June for some of the lesser-known faces at Liverpool, should we say, people who are tasked with recruitment.
Might be for you as well.
Yeah, that's true. I was looking at it actually the other day, and Liverpool had done their business by mid-June. They obviously already sorted Fabio Carvalho, Darwin Nunes was wrapped up quite quick, and then they signed Calvin Ramsey, and I think that was 19th of June, I think I saw on the date. And that was Liverpool's incoming's done, wasn't it? Apart from Arthur Mello, and you know, we can debate that as a kind of special case. So, in an ideal world, they get done quickly and they're all in for pre-season, which is what the plan still is. Now, you could argue that Liverpool are after a different type of player than they were 12 months ago. You know, Calvin Ramsey, young squad player with potential. Fabio Carvalho's contract was up, he was playing in the Championship, young player. And Nunes is effectively a man of replacement. But Liverpool have proven that they don't really mess about. Once they decide there's a player they want, they go and get it done pretty quickly, don't they? Look at Cody Gakpo in December. You know, Julian Ward's working over Christmas Eve, Christmas night, and Boxing Day just to get it over the line. And I'd imagine it's going to be something similar in June.
This is what I always enjoy about the summer transfer window. Like, ideally, you want it all done early. You want it all before pre-season. And Liverpool do traditionally try and do that. Other clubs do not. So as soon as you get to the start of pre-season, Liverpool are predominantly done. Then the fans are still not happy because they want more signings.
Yeah,
because Manchester United are signing
something. They want something,
they want something in July. They want something in August. Yeah. And Liverpool are done weeks in advance. But yeah, if you got it all done early, that means you've got the full pre-season. Everything's looking a lot more solid.
Do we like sagas? I think we do from a work point of view.
Depends if they end successfully.
They didn't really have to, did they, really?
Have you enjoyed the Jude Bellingham saga?
No. Well, Nabil Fekir, that was a saga, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a saga, yeah.
Whereas Virgil van Dijk, did you enjoy that saga?
Well, only because we knew exactly what was going to happen.
There you go.
You know what I mean? We knew how it was going to end. We could never write it. No.
I think obviously the closer... If you're doing deals on transfer deadline day, it's normally an indicator that, especially incomings, that you've left it a bit too late and it's a bit of a mistake. So the general feeling is the longer you leave it, the more of a mistake it is. So I'm not shocked to hear Klopp say it might take 6-7 weeks, but on the flip side, that'd be a conservative time frame, I guess.
I'm going to put you on the spot now, guys. I'm going to put you on the spot. Two questions. The first one, and I just want a number. How many players do you think, bearing in mind who you might think might leave, how many players would you not be surprised that Liverpool signed in the summer as a minimum? Just a number. That's all I need for now.
Four.
I think four as well. What do you think?
Four.
Four? Well,
depends on the goalkeepers.
I just wanted numbers. Come on. and the second question is, can you name me one player who you would put money on or would be your favourite to sign for Liverpool this summer?
No.
You have to. You have to. One that you wouldn't be surprised.
Player.
Yeah, you've got to say a player, yeah. A player.
Alexis McAllister.
I say Alexis McAllister as well.
Yeah, after this week, it's probably McAllister. But then things happen and change quickly.
They do. So
my concern now is if they don't get him, who is option C? Because let's face it, Bellingham's option A and maybe might be harsh on McAllister, but he's who they've turned their attention to since Sheldon Bellingham blends.
There'll be somebody with the same profile though, won't it? So
it's got to be a similar quality.
This is what I've looked at this week, haven't I? Because you could argue Gravenberch, Mount and McAllister, B and C. But at least with Salah, he was option four, wasn't he? He was option D. So they got to strike gold like
was
that
he?
Again. Yeah, because they went with Draxler, Pulisic and Brandt.
Well, Brandt was really the only one they were definitely going for, wasn't he?
But it was each window before.
I don't remember Draxler really being linked.
We wrote it.
Theo, have
good
you?
Times,
yeah, Paul
Theo,
Joyce.
Have
you? No, I just don't remember.
The Times, Paul Joyce wrote that.
It's going back 2 years, like.
Yeah, but things change over. That's over certain transfer windows. Yeah. This will be over certain weeks in a transfer window. So we wait and see. But yeah, I think we've all put our money where our mouths are. Oh well, two of us have. One of us has decided to take the fifth. It's kind of Theo. You didn't really. Did you give us an answer? Did you say McAllister?
Yeah, really? McAllister.
Okay, fine. Well, one player who might be leaving Liverpool in the summer. It's Fabio Carvalho. Klopp wasn't asked about him, but brought him up anyway in the press conference when he was talking about... The actual question wasn't it about, are you thinking of letting any of the younger players go out on loan? And I think the kind of inference was, you're signing lots of players. There's Curtis Jones, there's Harvey Elliott, there's Stefan, and I literally found out how to pronounce his name yesterday, and I've already forgot. What was it?
Bashetic.
There you go. That's how you pronounce it.
So just put a sh in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bash.
Yeah. And then he just came back to the question a bit later on and just went, I forgot Fabio Carvalho, and then said, yeah, well, we might consider putting him out on loan. He kind of hinted at it a couple of weeks ago.
It was interesting, wasn't it? I think he said a couple of weeks ago, didn't he, that we're going to have talks around it and see what's what.
Because the story came out that he was going to leave.
And obviously those talks must have taken place. Because it was unprompted, wasn't it? Which was interesting, the fact that he said, and by the way, I think Fabio Carvalho is going to go out on loan. And, you know, for a manager who doesn't give a lot away, the fact that he gave that away when he wasn't even asked about it.
I suspect he was trying to make the point about he wanted to get it across to Carvalho's attitude because he spoke very glowingly.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? I mean, that's how he works, doesn't he? You know, this a manager who previously likened Nat Phillips to Robert Lewandowski in terms of improvements, and when there's a player who they're happy to maybe ease towards the exit door, they get built up a little bit, and that's manager, you know, 1A of the tricks, isn't it? Tricks of the trade. I hope it only is alone. I'm still not entirely convinced where his best position is or how he's best used, but there's certainly a player in Carvalho. I hope it's a loan to a Premier League team further down the league where he's going to be playing a lot more regularly and we can start to see him in the Premier League more often and see if he's someone who's going to be suitable for the long term. He's still only 20, 21, is he?
Theo, is he one of these players that's kind of, when they brought him in, they were going to use him primarily as an attacker, one of the three. Probably use a backup to Salah, possibly, on the right. But because of the way that the season's gone and the team have played and the players were missing and the need to a new formation, that his development's been hampered by the fact that he hasn't been able to follow the path that Liverpool would have wanted him to, because they didn't expect to be struggling down in mid-table for an awful lot of the season.
Yeah, they'd have expected to give him more minutes for sure, even if it's just going further in the domestic cups.
He only made eight starts this season. I mean, he could easily start against Southampton.
Yeah, but like, you think the domestic cups last year, they got to the final of both, they won both. Those are their extra games. Or if you're winning games in the Premier League more comfortably, you can bring him on for 20 minutes here and there, give him more opportunities. And it just so happened that they had injuries. They had to stick with the experienced players who are more proven. And then he was used less and less. Like Gorsty said, we still don't really know his best position. When he came in, Klopp said, you can play him as an 8, play him as a 10, a 9, a winger. And you look at him and he doesn't have the pace for some. He doesn't have the physicality for others. And Liverpool don't play with a 10. But that'll be why he goes out on loan, to really find his position. And we saw it work so well for a Harvey Elliott a couple of years ago. Like, there is sense in letting him go. Like, one of the things is squad registration. He's under 21, so he doesn't have to be registered for Premier League, but he would need to be registered for Europa League squad, so that's an extra space you can have in the squad by just loading them out for a year. But then at the same time, he is one of those players, if he was still around, you said would thrive playing Europa League football for a year. That could give him lots of opportunities. But it's one where you let him go for a season and then reassess next summer, what has he done in this year? Is he good enough to make that step? And of course, he said Premier League club, so you think even a return to Fulham would be good for him. But he's also got his admirers abroad, like Porto. I think they were linked with him in the first place.
Dortmund.
Mm-hmm. And even like a club like Wolves, for example, like, you think they've got that big Portuguese contingent there. They're going to lose players this summer. They're struggling with FFP, so they might have to look for loan signings. There are places around that would be good fits for him. But you need to get this loan move right for him, so then he's in the best place to kick on afterwards when he's back at Liverpool.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a win-win for Liverpool, because they're not really going to miss him if he goes on loan. You're not going to look at any games Liverpool won't win next season. I think if only they had Fabio Carvalho.
That's been the issue this year,
isn't
it?
There's the pull quote from all the
on the flip side, you can send them on loan, and if he develops into the player who obviously Liverpool think they have on the hands, then you can bring him back in with that experience and the consistency to his game. Or if not, if he goes and has a great season and his team's knocking on Liverpool's door and they've already got signed 3 or 4 in last summer, they can move him on at a profit. So I think a lot of that makes sense.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Just again, talking about Carvalho, you also mentioned a couple of other players who may go out on loan. You looked at Tyler Morton, he mentioned Conor Bradley, who he said has come back. And he says, what did he say? He said he's grown, didn't he? He says looks like he's grown. Yeah.
Shocked by his growth, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, and these are players who certainly Tyler Morton played last season a couple of games. He made debuts in all the competitions, didn't he? Because he played in the Premier League as well. Tottenham, wasn't it? When there was a lot of players
when
missing,
the feud with the officials first kicked off again.
San Siro.
And that's right, played there as well. Conor Bradley, of course, played for your former club, Bolton. And what a trophy, played at Wembley. He didn't quite make the playoff final.
He's been doing a real easy tour at the moment, yeah. Conor.
Well, this is the thing, is that... But bearing in mind that they've got the Europa League coming up, are Liverpool perhaps a bit more minded to keep hold of these players? Or is that a little bit selfish because, you know, they could keep them for these games, but for them as individual footballers, it might be better, for example, for Tyler Morton to go out on loan to a Premier League team this season. It might be the same for Conor Bradley as well.
I think they're going to have to take it case by case, and it just depends what they do in the transfer market in terms of players coming in. Because you could say if they went and signed a senior right back so they could play Trent more in midfield as an option, and they didn't get the three midfielders, then you could argue, well, Bradley should go out on loan. You don't need him around. And then it's also with these players, it's the UEFA rules. Like Calvin Ramsey is in that Carvalho bracket as well. So he's one you think, definitely give him a loan so he can go and play games. And then what's the knock-on effect for the likes of Bradley, Tyler Morton? Well, I think it depends also how they do in pre-season. Like Stefan Pesetic when Bašetić, as soon as the season started. If we'd said at the start of pre-season, he is going to be in the first team plans, he is going to make X amount of appearances, even though we'd been seeing him for the academy sides, we wouldn't have predicted that would have been quite the rise he'd have made. You'd think another good year in the under-21s, maybe alone if he needs it. He completely skipped that step. So if Morton or Bradley come back and they're superb after a good season on loan and they're part of the first team picture, great. If they need that middle step and another loan is there, then that it comes into consideration as well. But it's all spinning your plates at the moment. They've got 6-7 weeks to make these decisions, see who comes in, and then just assess it all in pre-season for who is knocking out that door to be starting.
Does qualifying for the Europa League, does that mean there's more chance of Kevin Kelleher staying at Liverpool? Because you would imagine that might be a competition where he'd be asked to play.
Don't know about that one, actually.
I think yes, after Klopp's quotes the other week.
Yeah.
Remind the listeners and me what you said.
He was shocked at the suggestion that Kelleher was going to go and was saying...
He said he'd take an extraordinary offer.
We think that might be... Yeah. Again, it goes back to what you were saying about... What was it? Management? Saying that you're just building him up. But you don't really have to build up Kelleher. The only problem with Kelleher is that he's not been seen for the best part of a year.
I'm not sure how much of a weakened team he's going to play in the Europa League, to be honest. He was talking in his press conference today, wasn't he, glowingly about the Europa League, which he has to an extent, but I don't think he's going to be going into those group games in the same way he would do, you know, getting Derby County at home earlier this season.
I don't think it'll be like that, but you look at what he did when he first joined in the Europa League, he did use the early games, certainly up until the last 16 game, I think it was against... Was that United? It was, wasn't it? The last 16 game against United, he tended to rotate players, but from that point on, he kind of invested a bit more.
Brannigan.
Conor Randall seemed to play. Jordan Ibe scored, didn't he?
Yeah, Rossiter had a couple of games, didn't he, in Europa League, too?
Yeah, Teixeira, was he playing around then?
Yeah, that's right. So, but again, that was a completely different Liverpool team with a manager who'd just come in. So you can't really compare them that much. But it does open... For example, there would be no chance of Kelleher being the Champions League goalkeeper if they were... It'd be Alisson, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
but the Europa League does offer that kind of alternative, and it probably for even Alisson, he could understand it a bit more than perhaps if he was playing in the Champions League.
Yeah, but then you get into this idea of, you know, Klopp kept faith with Kelleher for the Carabao Cups, didn't he? I think Alisson only played once last season when Liverpool won it. Was it the 0-0 against Arsenal? Played him in the final, which was a brave call, which obviously paid off.
You didn't agree with that, did you?
I don't think I did at the time, but obviously proven to be the right decision. I just wonder whether that would be the case for the Europa League. Certainly you can make a case for outfielders and say your centre-back pairing might be Matip and Gomez, and your midfield three might be, you know, whoever, Curtis Jones, Elliot, Bašetić, whoever. I'm just not sure about the goalkeeper on that one. I think it might be Alisson ahead of Kelleher.
I think it depends on the talks they have behind the scenes. Like if Kelleher says, I want to start games, I'm pushing on for that now.
Yeah.
And they've got a difficult decision to make.
He's 24, he's not 19.
He needs those opportunities. Then maybe it's something they'll dangle in that bone. It's like, stay for another year, we'll give you this opportunity. That's something else to entice him to stay. But then if there's a good offer for him to be your first choice somewhere and you can put a buyback in it in 2-3 years' time, when you might think Alisson might move on and you want to replace him, unless there's another completely different goalkeeper they fancy in the academy anyway. But yeah, it just depends again on offers, what happens in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, I think looks like
Adrian might be staying as well.
Yeah. I think Liverpool kind of broke the mold with goalkeepers now with Alisson. You know, the amount of money they paid for him, it shows you how they differently they're thinking about the position in this day and age.
Atterberg's been central to that, hasn't he? Like, what he said, they're saying about him scouting goalkeepers, and they just seem so on point with it when it's bringing in youngsters like Pitaluga or anything. And you think they've got so many youngsters go out on loan who've had good stints as well at varying levels. Yeah, they might not all make it at Liverpool, but they're having decent careers elsewhere. Like, you think of Grabara, the Polish lad, who's in the World Cup squad. Makes a big difference to a few years ago when it seemed to be a problem position for Liverpool.
Does Jaros play for Stockport?
Yes, he was first choice, got an injury, and then the manager said that the replacement's been so good he has to slip up for you to get back, and he hasn't. But Jaros has been on the bench for the playoff push.
So he'll be going to Wembley, won't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did win, didn't they? Beat Salford. Gary Neville Salford. Yes. They were defeated, yes. Just going slightly off topic, this is just a little debate I was having earlier today. If West Ham win the Europa Conference League, have they had a better season than Arsenal?
No.
No. I would say yes. I would say 100% yes.
Arsenal going to the Champions League, that was their ambition.
It depends how much importance you want to put on that Europa Conference League. I mean,
well, it's a trophy for West Ham and they never win it.
That's what I mean. It's a European trophy. Not necessarily the one those who follow and cover Liverpool would argue it's a major one, but for West Ham fans it is, isn't it? So don't know. Nosey weren't swinging them digs for nothing, was he?
and this is the thing about optics. If Manchester United win their next two games against, is it Fulham last game?
Yeah.
Fulham at home and Man City in the FA Cup final, they'll have won exactly the same trophies that Liverpool won last year and only finished one place below them in the league. Have Man United had anywhere near as good a season this year as Liverpool had last year?
No, because I think a lot has to be said for being in the title race until the last 10 minutes of the season and then having a Champions League final to play in. You know, obviously...
Don't knock United here. They had a nice week and a half when they're in the title race before they came to Anfield.
And the reason I'm asking that, because that brings us back then to Liverpool finishing fifth. Because Klopp said something like, if we'd literally have got finished fourth, it would just be seen as a normal season for Liverpool. But that fifth it isn't. And if they beat Southampton on the last day of the season, they'll have 69 points, which is the amount of points they had when they finished third 2 years ago. And I know it's every season's different or whatever have you. But that they finished so strongly, like they finished last season so strongly, and the season before that so strongly, and the season before that they'd already won the league and so they lost a couple of games, but they still got 99 points. And the season before that strongly, they still have that in them, don't they, to when that business end of the season comes, they can turn it on and they know how to deliver. And that is what they have to take into next season, where they weren't able to do it this time around because of all the factors we mentioned a million times over, lack of rest, lack of proper pre-season, playing so many games last season. So I know, that, again, there are some fans who think hope is all over and there's no reason for optimism. Klopp, going back to what we mentioned before, he isn't misplaced in coming up with some optimism. He's not like putting it on. He's not just saying it for effect, is he?
Yeah, no. It just depends on, like I said before, what camp you're in, really, doesn't it? I just think Liverpool left it just a bit too late. That Bournemouth defeat was the killer for me. It came a week after they beat United 7-0.
And who missed a penalty that day?
Yeah.
So do you wonder whether a little bit of that's playing on his mind?
No. I just think he's just an elite performer, isn't he? And probably sees it as a bit of an affront that he's not going to be lighting up the Champions League next season.
Did you find it an affront as an elite journalist that you're not rested on it? I couldn't even get through that.
Whatever, without laughing. Yeah.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we'll look then to Southampton. We mentioned before about Klopp and the players. He might be changing some of them, but we will be changing some of them. Who they're going to be now, we will now discuss as we discuss the team selector. So now we look ahead to Southampton. Who are you having in goal? I would go for Kelleher.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Alisson. See no reason to play your best goalkeeper.
Because I'm on the beach. What's the point? Alisson can't win the Golden Glove. Give Kelleher a game, why not?
Defence.
Trent can keep his place because he's been doing so well and that's his position. Robertson's got a knock, hasn't he? So Tsimikas can be left back. Van Dijk can keep his place. former club, get a few boos. I'm sure he will love that. And then I'll make a change at centre-back. And I'll go Gomez over Matip, but I wouldn't be surprised if he goes Matip over Gomez.
Well, Robertson's a doubt, isn't he, with a groin issue, so no point risking him. Simikas, Trent, Canate and Van Dijk otherwise.
Canate did say he was unwell, didn't he, this week?
Oh, he did,
Canate,
yeah. Go on, I'll bring in Matip for that one then.
I'll bring in Matip as well. So it's been Matip, Simikas, Trent and Van Dijk. Midfield?
Jones, Elliot, Milner. Give Milner a little send-off.
Jones, Elliot, and I think Fabinho keeps it. I think the departing players, it's just substitute duty for the final hurrah.
Yeah, it's a tough one, whether they... Yeah. I mean, I think I'll play Jones and Elliot. They both started that game last year.
That's my thinking.
Yeah, and I will play... Not playing Melo now. I'll let him. To be fair, I will. I'm on the bench, and I'd bring him on. Right, at some points, it's only fair. Now I go Milner as well. Actually, Milner as well. And up front then, Theo.
Salah starts because he's still going for that 20th Premier League goal, and I think if it's one goal or one assist, something like that, he's his second best season ever in terms of goal contributions and goals. If Nunes is fit, Nunes can start, try and finish the season strongly, and then Diaz or Jota on the left. Let's go Diaz because he's just come back from injury. It's a few more minutes in his legs.
I'd play Jota left, Nunes down the middle and Salah on the right.
Yeah, I think I'd go with that. Yeah, just give Nunes a little bit of a run out to end the season if he is fit. Salah, obviously, like Theo says, going for the targets. And yeah,
what do we think then for a scoreline? What score do you reckon Southampton are going to win? I reckon it's going to be absolutely ridiculous. I think Liverpool will win 5-2.
Yeah, and there's always a big score at the end of the season. And I think it could be I was going to call it the Dell. Show me age there. It's going to be at St Mary's on Sunday.
You can go the Dell. We'll drop you off there.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to say 6-1.
I said 3-1 with Fitzy, so I'll go 4-1 today.
Can you imagine if Christian Walsh were still on that podcast now? What score he'd come up with now? It'd be like about 31-0 to Liverpool or something like that. And on that unlikely bombshell, we'll finish. Paul, where can we find you on Twitter?
Not many places. At PT Ghost is my Twitter handle.
And on there, they also find where to get you at Facebook, Instagram.
Yes.
And have you got TikTok?
No.
That's because you are a grown adult like me. I don't have it either. Theo, you are at
Theo Squires Echo. Same on Instagram. I've got a blue tick on Facebook now.
Have you?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Mine yet. What's going on? Right. Well, I genuinely am the real Ian Doyle at Ian Doyle Sports, and you can find where else going there. And join us next week where we will look back at Liverpool's hefty defeat to Southampton, probably, and we will all be celebrating the end of the season. Cheerio.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.